It is Wednesday, April 9th. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Two-man show for now. Dave might be joining us later, but it's Adam and Jamie. Follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y. I'm at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, buddy.
All right, we're doing mock draft review today.
Yes.
We've got a few notes, yes, but mostly emails and tweets.
Yes.
So I think the consensus was that I had a better draft than you.
From one person.
Yeah, from one. It's consensus, isn't it?
Well, let's see. I think I had a better draft.
That is 2-1.
Okay, so it's not a consensus.
I think you had a better draft than me, too. Well, I'm not actually sure about that. I think I had a better draft.
I think since we have a good portion of our audience that is cross-listening between fantasy football and fantasy baseball.
Oh, yeah.
We should throw it out to the audience to see who has more of an unhealthy obsession with said player. You with Chase Headley.
I don't have a Headley obsession
at all.
You
do, because you made us put him on our team twice in 2 years.
I like him, but I'm not obsessed.
You're obsessed. And as you said to me,
yeah,
that I have an unhealthy obsession with Andre Ellington.
You do. You do. This is why I'm not feeling it with Andre Ellington.
That's fine. That's fair.
I'm worried for you. I don't care about him. I'm worried for you.
As am I for you with Chase Headley.
But Chase Headley, we drafted in like the 14th round. Ellington's
if
a third
you think
round
we
pick.
Drafted him in the 14th round, you must think that the draft is
league.
65
so
rounds
I
long.
I did take him in the 14th round of a 12-team league.
Maybe so. But in our 16-team league, I think you made him take him in like the 6th round.
I don't think so.
There's a computer next to you, DJ Milton.
All right, I'll look for
draft
it.
Draft results.
So let's give out the email address, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Dave just waved us off. He's not coming.
Dave's not coming? Oh, what a shame. Oh, come on, Dave.
He's got to do an Ultimate Warrior rest in peace memoriam.
I was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan. The only wrestler that I've ever been a huge fan of.
Really?
Yeah. You?
I liked Ultimate Warrior. I actually watched Raw for one of the rare times Monday night and saw his...
Oh, with his speech, yeah.
Speech. Sucked.
Yeah.
Or his speech was good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame. But watch Dave's video. Dave's going to be on camera hosting a video, so watch that on the website. If you are a fantasy baseball fan, check out our podcast and our video show. It's live noon Eastern, Monday through Friday. That's the video show, of course. We're going to talk about Andre Brown, Chris Johnson, Mike Williams, and then, get to your questions.
And pick apart our teams.
So Tennessee cut Chris Johnson, Jamie. So tell us what fantasy owners need to know.
So we did our draft, as we're going to talk about last week. We knew Chris Johnson was getting cut. We just didn't know when. And he got cut, I believe, right after or the next day when we did our draft. So if you go to the fantasy news site, click on Fantasy Football and go to the Fantasy Football Today blog. You're going to have to scroll down a little bit because we kind of went through this. And anybody who follows us on Twitter, myself and Dave, we kind of had a little back and forth because Dave, in doing some research on Chris Johnson when he got cut, said how good he's been the last 3 years and that he still has some potential and his fantasy numbers. He was a top 10 fantasy running back last year. And I say hogwash because...
He hasn't been good.
Well, he was good last year from a fantasy standpoint because of his receiving.
Right, he had those...
He had four receiving touchdowns, which is a career high. I don't think you're going to get four receiving touchdowns from him again. He's not going to be a full-time guy.
3.9 yards per carry. You know what he has been is healthy as hell.
He's been very consistent, and that's what's helped him, his total numbers. But his week-to-week consistency has been very bad.
Right.
So I think Chris Johnson with the Jets, where he's in a part-time role with Chris Ivory, he is, to me, a flex option. I would not draft Chris Johnson as a starter. Dave says he would still take him as a starter. There's also a good blog by Larry Hartstein, one of our fantasy writers, who broke down how Chris Johnson is better on turf than he is on grass.
Oh, okay.
And that will help him if he signs with a team that plays on turf.
You have a calculator?
On my phone?
Yeah. Do this.
Not on your two computers? You don't have one?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Do 8 times 16 plus 12.
There's probably somebody out there who's figured this out already.
Oh, yeah.
8 times 16.
Plus 12.
Plus 12 is 140.
Divide it by 12. All right, well, that's the 12th round. That's where we took Chase Headley in a 12-team league. So there you go. We took him in round 9 in this 16-team league. all right, what were you saying about Chris Johnson?
Sorry to derail your fantasy baseball thought. Mm-hmm. I just look at Chris Johnson as a flex option. Dave says the reason it came up was because in the draft, which you could look on the site as well, Dave passed on Chris Johnson in the fourth round for Vernon Davis. I think he made the right choice by taking Vernon Davis over Chris Johnson in the fourth round. The earliest I would consider Chris Johnson is where I would consider most of my flex options at running back is round five or round six.
Andre Brown. Well, same team now.
Yes.
He's on Houston. One-year deal. Brown scored 15 fantasy points in three of his first four games, 15 or more, in three of his first four games after being injured with a broken leg to start the year. He came back, he was awesome, and then he struggled after that.
Right.
And now he is the handcuff to Arian Foster.
Right.
So Thundering Thor on Twitter says, how does Andre Brown affect Foster? Is it better or worse than having Tate there?
I think it's better for Foster to have Andre Brown by comparison to Ben Tate because Ben Tate was someone that they drafted, they invested in. There was a lot of potential there, and Andre Brown gets hurt a lot. So most likely, Andre Brown will have a 4 or 5 game stretch where he will hurt Foster a little bit. You know, maybe take a touchdown or two away over that stretch. Maybe he breaks the long run that where you know where Foster is out of the game. But I think you know Andre Brown to me is at best like a Bernard Pierce. Is at worst Ben Tate.
So how about Mike Williams? Did you know? Sure you did, but did all of you know that in 2012, Mike Williams was a top 20 wide receiver in fantasy? 63 catches, 996 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And that is pretty good, those 9 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And he played in all 16 games in his first 3 seasons, but Williams played in only 6 last year. Well, now he's on the Bills. What do you think?
I mean, look, this is a guy that's got a lot of off-field issues. You know, we had the stabbing situation. The Bucks were under consideration to cut him, which is why they traded him for, I believe, was a 6th-round pick. So Lovie Smith didn't want anything to do with Mike Williams. And he goes to now the coach he played for in college. Doug Marrone was his coach at Syracuse. Doug Marrone at the owners' meetings where Dave and I were. I actually was the last question I heard Doug Marrone's table. I know we've kind of said it before, but all the coaches sit at a table. We get to bounce around from table to table. Us national, quote-unquote, guys.
Yeah.
So I heard somebody ask about, you know, Mike Williams. This was before the trade, you know, and he said he's reached out to Mike, tried to, you know, offer his guidance, and now he's going to get that full time. Mike Williams is a guy you'll take a late-round flyer on, most likely to pick up on waivers from a fantasy perspective. The Bills are interesting because there's reports in Buffalo that Steve Johnson may not be guaranteed a roster spot. Now, depending on who you ask and who you listen to from the Buffalo media, you get a different perspective, but I think the consensus is he's going to stay, which means that Mike Williams is probably their third receiver going into the year.
Did you see this? I'm reading it on NFL.com. Mike Williams put down nearly $1 million in cash to buy a house in the Tampa area 2 weeks ago. That sucks.
Did he get it?
I don't know. I don't know, but I guess he was surprised to be traded.
Well,
so there's that.
You know, he's got some issues. And so this is a guy that there's talent, but it's not elite-level talent. You know, it's not like like Josh Gordon, you put up with headaches.
Yeah.
Mike Williams, you don't put up with headaches.
So Owen Daniels is on Baltimore. Does that matter?
Well, it does. We had this Dennis Pitta debate last week during the draft. I don't think it does at all because Gary Kubiak's team has typically, he's offensive coordinator for the Ravens. He's typically supported two tight ends. If you go back to you know, Houston with Owen Daniels and Garrett Graham, you know, and how that dynamic worked, I think you'll see Daniels play better than what Ed Dixon was, but it just gives them another weapon. It helps Joe Flacco the most, and it doesn't hurt Dennis Pitta in my eyes. Dennis Pitta is still the number 5 tight end.
So I wanted to plug something, if I may, that you're a part of, and now I'm a part of, our live NFL draft show.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yes.
I'm not going to be on it the whole time. Are you?
I think Dave and I are alternating in a seat.
Right, and Will Brinson and I are alternating as well.
Right.
I'm sure Pete Prisco will be on it.
The star of the show is Rob Rang.
Rob Rang's the man.
Yes. If you want to know about draft prospects, see, what will happen is it's an interesting show because right now if you want to know about draft prospects, Rob Rang's the guy to go to. Dane Brugler also is a very good guy to go to on our site. Check out those two guys and the breakdown of the prospects. As they transition from draftee to draft – or pre-draftee to draftee. Is that the right way to say
it? Sure, yeah.
As they go from before the draft to being drafted, that's kind of where Pete, Dave, and I take over a little bit.
Right.
And we can sort of analyze how they fit into their respective teams. Pete also knows his draft prospects, as does Will. But Rob Rang and Dane Brugler are the two superstars.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So, you know, it's an alternative.
You'll bring your expertise as well.
Yeah, I'll bring something. Mm-hmm. It's probably a lot of Chase Headley talk. But
right, right.
We're going to break it down. We'll be live for the entire draft, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So looking forward to that in about a month.
What don't you like about Andre Ellington as we transition to my awesome
I team? Am skeptical about the workload. I think Stephon Taylor is going to have a role there.
He
and
is,
I just
absolutely.
Don't think he's a third-round pick. I think he's more of a fourth-round pick.
Well, I would prefer to get him in the fourth round,
yeah.
obviously. But in the breakdown of the draft, I'll reference Larry Hartstein again and these blogs. Again, if you can have you have the opportunity to check them out, they're only in their infant stage. Baseball is going full go. Football, you know, we're not doing it as sporadically, or we're doing it more sporadically than baseball. We're not doing it as frequently as we are going to.
Even I blog in
baseball.
Once
the season starts. Yeah, you should read if you want to read Adam. Make a fool of himself. Go ahead. But Larry said in his draft review that he took Aaron Rodgers in the third round, and it was a tough call for him because he was actually considering Andre Ellington there. And he said if he, in hindsight, he probably would have taken Ellington knowing where the, some of the quarterbacks fell.
Well, yeah, I could see that. I just trying to look up Chris Johnson's measurements. 5'11", 203, we have Chris Johnson at. Ellington's 5'9", 199.
He's tiny. Look, Adam, I sat with him, and you make him look big. You know, there's there's a size factor with him. There's durability concerns. The thing about it, and I'll say what I said last week, CJ, he's got Chris Johnson type ability. He's got CJ Spiller type ability. And a lot of people are going to say, well, look at what those guys were last year. You can't look at last year. You have to look at what their body of work has been for Chris Johnson and what CJ Spiller was the year that he got an opportunity. CJ Spiller in 2012 averaged 6 yards a carry, 10.5 yards a catch, or 10.7 yards per catch. Andre Ellington last year led all running backs with at least 100 carries in yards per carry at 5.5, and he averaged 9.5 yards per catch. And Bruce Arians is one of the most creative play callers we have in the NFL. And I asked him about Andre Ellington. He said, you know, we're looking forward to just scratching the surface in the spring about what we can do with this guy. Now, I understand, and I said this last week, when I get, and I think this is what you're referencing, when I get a little overexcited about a guy, sometimes it's a little too much. I get a little, you know, maybe drive the hype train up a little too much. I feel like maybe I did that with CJ Spiller last year.
Yeah, but you also did it with Shane Vereen, and you were right on the money with that.
Well, you know, it's just a matter of finding talented guy, situation, and understanding what could potentially happen. Now, there's a downside to it. You said Stephon Taylor. That's the guy that's going to probably score touchdowns there. Rashard Mendenhall was the touchdown guy last year.
I think the funny thing is, like, there are so many similarities between Ellington and Spiller. Look at the yards per carry and
sure.
the production.
Size.
They both went to Clemson.
Right.
And they might have another guy in the backfield that has a bigger role than we anticipated.
I don't downgrade Taylor's role and even potentially Jonathan Dwyer, who they just brought in. But I do think, though, that this is a team that doesn't necessarily – Bruce Arians doesn't want to run the ball 40 times a game. He's not that way. And he wants to put the ball in Ellington's hands in a variety of ways. And so I think you could see 50 catches. I think you can see 200 carries. I don't think he's going to be a 300-carry guy. But
no,
I think this is a guy that if he stays healthy – that's a big concern because of his size. But if he stays healthy, if he gets to the 250-touch range – again, 5 yards a carry, 10 yards a catch, that's going to be pretty special.
All right, let me just look at the mock draft and see the guys that went around him. So round three was Julio Jones, Julius Thomas, Reggie Bush, Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers, Andre Ellington, CJ Spiller. So you're going Ellington over Spiller, huh?
That's a tough debate I had. You know, I even told Dave that when I was looking at my rankings, it's a real tough call for me to go Spiller, Ellington, or Ellington, or Spiller. I think it's just, again, looking at upside versus where Spiller could be or may or may not. You know, it's just a concern. But, yeah, the splitting hairs.
Gronkowski, Randall Cobb, Antonio Brown, Vincent Jackson, Pierre Garçon. I think it might come down to if there's, like, a stud wide receiver that I love
mm-hmm.
and this running back that I could definitely see your point on, I'm probably going to go with the safer play.
Now, I agree with you 100%, but for my team, I started with Calvin Johnson.
Uh-huh.
So I knew in my mind – that I was going whoever was going to be my best available running back falling to me in round two, which in this case was DeMarco Murray. And then I knew that if I wanted Andre Ellington, I had to get him in round three.
But you're all right. I don't want to say that Andre Ellington is injury prone. That would be very unfair. But running backs get injured a lot, and he's 5'9". So you're okay with DeMarco Murray and Andre Ellington as your as the foundation
Look,
of your team?
Look, it's certainly one of those situations where if you go something other than running back in round one, and for me, the only two guys that I would consider are Jimmy Graham and Calvin Johnson. After that, you're taking what's left for you. you know, it's do you go? Did I have the opportunity to take Ray Rice in round three? I think I did.
Yeah.
Right? So it's do you go with a retread of Ray Rice or Frank Gore, two guys that will be in that range? Do you go with maybe the rebound season of CJ Spiller? You know, do you look at Stephen Ridley for the rebound season there? You know, it's those type of guys that you're talking. Do you reach for Shane Vereen in round three? You know, it's that's the kind of Steven Jackson, you know, Toby Gerhardt. This is what you're talking about
yeah,
when you get that
great.
Spot. And so I will gamble on upside and take Andre Ellington with the thought process of what I believe to be happening. Now, the problem was I knew when I took Andre Ellington that I wanted to get Taylor as well. Are we calling him Stephon or how do you – I always pronounce it. I feel like I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Stephon Taylor.
Okay, so I knew I
that
wanted.
P throws you off.
Yeah, I knew yeah. I wanted Stephon Taylor, and then we had the funny moment.
Darce came in here.
We had the funny moment of Darce. I don't think Darce looked at my cue, but you know he.
No, he looked at your rankings.
He looked at my rankings,
right.
And he took Taylor at the spot where I was considering it. And you know, I wrote in the blog that I posted on about my team that I wanted to come away with Taylor and Kristen Michael. I only ended up getting one of those
well,
guys
then,
in Michael.
If you had Ellington, why'd you go Michael before Taylor? Why wouldn't you? You know, play it safe and back up your guy.
I took Taylor at the spot that I took Michael. I'm sorry, I took Michael at the spot I wanted Taylor.
You should have done it reverse. You should have gone Taylor first, then Michael, you're saying.
I don't think I had the chance to get Taylor there. I think it went Taylor before I took Michael, right?
No. Round 10, you took Kristen Michael and Darce took Taylor two picks later.
I don't know. Something screwed me up there with the way that I was planning it.
I know it screwed you up. Darce was on the headset. There was a lot of commotion in the room.
And I may or may not have been drafting for other people.
Yeah. So I think you'd lost your focus there for a bit.
Possibly.
But you would have taken, if you would do it over again, you'd take Taylor over Michael and back up Ellington.
Yeah, the thing that I screwed up my team, you know, if you want to call it that, is where I took Reuben Randle.
Let's break down your team.
Sure.
All right. This is a 12-team mock that we did on the air. Standard scoring, two running backs, two wide receivers, a flex, tight end, kicker, defense, and one quarterback. Flex can be a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. Sixth pick overall, Jamie took Calvin Johnson, DeMarco Murray, Andre Ellington, mm-hmm. Andre Johnson, mm-hmm. Joik Bell, mm-hmm. Golden Tate, mm-hmm. Dennis Pitta, round 8, Tony Romo, Reuben Randle, Kristen Michael, Nick Foles, Joseph Randle, Steve Johnson, Saints, and Justin Tucker. So your starting lineup is Romo, Murray and Ellington, Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson, and then you can go with either Joik Bell or Golden Tate or Reuben Randle at flex with Dennis Pitt at tight end. What do you think about your team?
I like it. Like I said, you know, the I said this last week. I felt like I was taking a lot of the trendy players, you know, the Ellington pick, the Joik Bell pick, the Golden Tate pick. I'm obviously locked into the Lions a lot when you look at – I'm locked into the Lions a lot when you look at Calvin Johnson, Joik Bell, and Golden Tate, and you can argue – including Reggie Bush, that those are the three best fantasy options for the Lions next year. You know, take that for what it's worth.
Right.
And then the Cowboys with Romo and DeMarco Murray. So I'm locked into two teams. What I was just getting at is the Reuben Randle pick.
Yeah.
I did not need to take Reuben Randle because I would venture to say that if all three of my receivers stay healthy, the top three guys, then I'm never going to play him.
You think you don't? Hey, Dave.
What's up?
Dave's here. You don't think Reuben Randle can be better than Golden Tate?
Well, he certainly could, but again, I'm looking at it, excuse me, from where my team is. Like, I would have been better off taking Taylor at that spot.
Yeah.
And then Michael, and then maybe another receiver later as the fourth guy.
I like Randle. I spent a lot of time watching Hakeem Nicks. I'm doing a story on players that change teams and what to expect and kind of went back and looked at what they did in 2013. And I'm more impressed with Randle than I am Nicks right now. And I think Randle's got a big piece of the Giants passing game coming his way.
I don't see why not. You know, we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, this isn't really a Randle problem. It's a what's better fit for my team problem.
Right.
You know, you like your team, though?
Yeah, I do.
It's pretty good.
You know, there's ifs, but there's ifs, I think, that, you know, when you take a step back and you think about it, because the casual fan's not going to say, I don't want Joik Bell as my flex, and I don't want Andre Ellington as my number two running back. But the diehard fan, and you know the three of us in this room, no offense, Clear, the three of us in this room, you know, we'll sort of look at our
Michael Clear's over there on the computer.
We'll look at my team and say, okay, Joik Bell has the potential to maybe be the best running back for the Lions. Andre Ellington has a chance to be, you know, top 20 fantasy running back this year, and Golden Tate has a chance to be a top 24 fantasy receiver this year with the move to Detroit. So. I'm very happy about the potential of my team. Now,
I want to bring one guy
come
up.
August, it could be different.
Tony Romo.
Mm-hmm.
last year, if we take 25 points away from him, because he had that 50-point game. Let's say it was a 25-point game.
Mm-hmm. He slides.
Yeah, big time.
That's also because he missed the end of the season, too. He missed the last game.
Oh, he did miss the last game. All right, so then let's keep
him
where he is.
Give him 20 of those points back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he's eighth. I just remember as a Roma owner just like kind of being disappointed with him.
Was it because he never delivered like Peyton or like Breeze?
Yeah, like look
because
at his last six games.
He didn't always underwhelm.
11 points, 19 points, 15 points, 22 points, 22 points, 19 points. And it was sort of coincided with DeMarco Murray,
I was
going
to say, it coincides with DeMarco Murray being healthy, coincides with Dez Bryant being a disappointment, you know, from where he was expected to play at.
You know, Romo's been so consistent. But are you going to get more than that?
There's one guy that really makes Tony Romo special this year, and it's Scott Linehan. Because if you look at Scott Linehan and his track record and how they throw the ball in his offenses, he doesn't want to run the ball. He's going to run the ball. He's going to use his running backs. We saw Reggie Bush play at a very high level. We saw Joik Bell play at a very high level. We saw a couple years ago Michael Ashore, we thought was going to be, you know, the next great thing. So I think that Scott Linehan's influence on this offense, because now there's a three-headed monster of guys that could potentially call plays for the Dallas Cowboys, but he's going to be the one that wins out. That should allow Tony Romo, I think, to be a very consistent, still top 10. He's not top 5. He could be, but he's top 10 fantasy quarterback.
I don't know if he's going to let you down very many weeks.
Right.
That's the upside of Romo.
Let's go to Dave's team. 10th overall pick. Two running backs with his first two. Monte Ball and Alfred Morris, followed by Antonio Brown at the end of round 3. Vernon Davis in round 4. Steven Jackson round 5. Matt Ryan round 6. And you're going to see number two wide receiver could be a problem for Dave, but his next three picks are Eric Decker, Justin Blackmon, Dwayne Bowe, and then Marvin Jones. Ahmad Bradshaw, round 11. Travaris Cadet, Saints running back. Broncos DST, CJ Anderson, another Denver running back to back up Monte Ball, and Matt Bryant. So you have your starting lineup, Matt Ryan, Ball and Alf, Antonio Brown, and either Decker, Blackmon, Bowe, or Marvin Jones. And then I guess Steven Jackson's your flex? Or another wide receiver.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends. If my wide receivers pan out better than I hope, then sure. But otherwise, it'll be Steven Jackson. And actually, believe it or not, since we've done this, I've moved Steven Jackson further down my rankings. And I did a blog on what I'm going to say now. I made a mistake on draft day. Chris Johnson was still available in round 4.
You talked about that?
Yeah. I'm sorry for bringing that up again.
We didn't say your reasoning for liking Chris Johnson for whatever reason it is.
Moreover, I also think there's a big priority. I think there's a serious priority on taking a tight end this year. I just think that the drop-off from Graham and
Thomas,
in any
Gronk.
Order, Thomas, Gronk, Davis. I'm trying to remember how I had him ranked. That's why I paused
there.
But those four guys, I think there's a drop-off to that next level of Witten, Pitta, and then you're fishing for sleepers from there with Kyle Rudolph is kind of an intriguing tight end because of the Norv Turner addition in Minnesota. So I made it a priority to get a good tight end, but if I could go back in time, take the time machine, the DeLorean, if you will, back to the draft last week, I would have taken Chris Johnson out of Vernon Davis and then just dealt with whatever tight end I could get later on. And then I wouldn't have Steven Jackson in my flex. It would be Chris Johnson in my flex.
Oh, but then I don't get it. Like, why wouldn't you rather have Steven Jackson and Vernon Davis
versus
opposed to Chris Johnson and
Jason
Witten?
Look at us.
Yeah, hey.
Jinx, you owe me a cup. why? Because I think that Steven Jackson's ceiling just isn't there anymore.
And Chris Johnson's is?
Yeah, I think there's room.
Based on
3.9 yards per carry.
First of all, that's better than what Steven Jackson did last year. And second of all, he's going to make an impact. It's crazy that he can't, but if he's given enough opportunities, and it doesn't have to be the same amount of opportunities he had last year, he can still make an impact in an offense.
Based on what?
He's going to be my flex, Jamie. And I think he's going to get better sets than Steven Jackson.
Not better than Vernon Davis, though.
I think potentially he could.
Not at that position.
Sure he could, because he can still total 1,400 yards, which I don't think
he's
Vernon Davis
never
going to
total 1,400 yards.
How many
yards
total
again?
Yards did he have last
That's
year?
That's last year when he was a featured running back, when he got 300 carries.
Are we banking on him strictly going to a team that's going to use him in a 50-50 split? Are you sure that that's going to happen?
Even if it's an 80-20 split, that's more than what he had last year.
He did get 1,400 yards last year.
Yes, right. That's last year.
I would have taken him on the hunch that he'd end up with the Jets, where he'd be in a situation similar to where he was last year.
How?
Toward the end of the year.
How?
Because look, how many carries did he have each week toward the end of the
He's
year?
He's not going to be that guy.
He would be that guy. Why are you're talking to me like
I'm
your son and I just spilled spaghetti on him?
Because my son makes more sense with this than you do. I don't understand your infatuation with Chris Johnson.
It's not an infatuation.
It is.
As much as it's a reality. He's going to end up somewhere.
Reality is that you took the better player at the more important position than Vernon Davis, which was the smart move, as opposed to reaching for Chris Johnson in the fourth round where you didn't have to.
I don't think it would have been a reach.
It would have been.
I don't think so. I think he's still going to be able to be that guy. You're arguing with my opinion.
I am, yes, because I think it's a bad opinion.
Listen,
I think you're smarter than this opinion.
I think it could be a bad opinion. It really depends on where he ends up. If he ends up with the Jets and in a situation where he's still going to get 15-plus touches a week, I'm right on. If he ends up somewhere else, you know, maybe the Jets think like Jamie and they say, we don't need this guy on our team, and he ends up going to, Cincinnati, and he ruins all the fantasy value for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Gio. That was a joke.
Well, look.
Laughing. If he goes to a team where he's definitely going to split, then of course it was a mistake.
He's going – any team he's going to right now, he's going to split.
What do you see – do you see the Jets as the best possible fit for him? Based on – I mean, I'm asking you to evaluate 31 other teams.
No, I think Jacksonville –
other than Tennessee.
I think Jacksonville will be better for him. I think
okay.
I think Indianapolis would be better for him.
I think Indianapolis would actually be the best.
I think
give me a round that you – what round did you say you wanted to take?
Early round four.
See, I'd rather just wait for Gerhart. I'd rather take Gerhart in round five than Chris Johnson.
Gerhart didn't make it back to me in round five, though. Did he?
No.
Or was I
no.
so
That's when you
in
took
to
Steven
take...
Jackson. Gerhart was off the board.
I would have definitely taken Gerhart over Jackson.
Well, I don't know. I like your Vernon Davis – Steven Jackson
that's the
pairing.
Smarter pick.
Versus Chris Johnson and Jason Witten.
Yeah, because I think with Vernon Davis, you have a better shot at getting a great player. With Chris Johnson and Jason Witten, you might have two, like, okay players.
That
I understand
may not
that
bring
Steven
much
Jackson might be terrible, but I think you can afford that in a fifth round pick. Right? You know, and then.
Yeah.
Just my thought.
Was Witten still available when I would have picked in round five?
Probably.
I'm curious. When was
he went
taken?
In round seven.
Oh, so I might have been able to sneak him into round six and grabbed a receiver in round five, and then I wouldn't have this Eric Decker headache that I've got.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll go through my team real quick because I wanted to make this show mostly about the emails.
Nothing
the
about Monte Ball as a first-round pick?
We have an email about that, actually.
Oh,
so.
All right.
My team, I had the second pick, LeSean McCoy, Brandon Marshall, Julius Thomas. I really wanted Julio Jones, but he went one pick before me. Ray Rice, Keenan Allen, MJD, Pierre Thomas, Mike Wallace, Jay Cutler in round 9, David Wilson, Cam Newton in round 11, Justin Hunter, Jarrell Jernigan, Bengals, and Prater. So I filled my requirement of at least two Giants. And I go Cutler, McCoy, Ray Rice. Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that.
Really?
Brandon Marshall and Julius Thomas.
What round was Ray Rice yours in?
Second to last pick of the fourth round. I like the value. I just... don't know that I like him as my number two running back. But with McCoy, Brandon Marshall, Julius Thomas, I think, you know, whatever. Keenan Allen is my number two wide receiver, and then MJD is my flex. Pierre Thomas in option two. And
Ray
I like
Rice
Mike
or
Wallace.
Vernon Davis, Jamie?
I don't want to say the wrong thing, not knowing what I have, but my gut would still be Vernon Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess I'd rather have – would you rather have this – which combo? Ray Rice and Julius Thomas or – Reggie Bush and Vernon Davis, because that would have been – I could have done that, and I would have done that.
I think I like Bush and Vernon better.
I like Thomas and Rice better.
Really?
Because Rice and Reggie are kind of in similar situations. One guy's trending down. One guy's down with only one way to go but up in terms of Rice.
You think he's trending down, Reggie Bush, because of Joique Bell?
I think it's just a change of philosophy with the offense and how they're going to use Reggie Bush. And, yes, Joique Bell, I think, is going to take on a little bit more prominent.
Yeah. I'm worried that Ray Rice is running out of leash. And if he gets off to a slow start again this year, that – and I think they're going to draft a running back. They might not fear putting him on the bench or really cutting into his playing time like they did last year. Last year, they had no choice. Bernard Pierce was just as bad.
Ready for emails and tweets?
Sure.
Dave's Twitter handle is at Dave Richard. And also at CBS Fantasy FB for all your fantasy football needs. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com is our email address. Please put football podcast in the subject line. Wes from the Northwest suggests davesdigs.com for all your food recommendations.
Nice.
Let's go to Squarespace to make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Abdul Hamani says, Ben Tate getting no love from you guys. In my mind, he is a lock at the second or the third round. Free pizza in Dallas for the CBS crew.
All right. When are we going to Dallas?
We should have gone for the Final Four.
We should have. Could have been fed for free and taken in basketball. You know, he's all right. I don't think he's an amazing talent.
Who, Abdul?
Oh, no, Abdul's amazing. I mean, free pizza.
Ben Tate, though.
That's awesome. But Ben Tate, I just think he's, you know, good running back in a really good spot.
I think he's and a when mediocre I say really good, running I mean, back in a mediocre spot.
Right, right.
He went with the first pick of the fourth round.
Yeah, the second round, there's no chance. Third round, he's in that Andre Ellington conversation. You know, it depends how you feel about him. You know, I think Ben Tate is better suited for a fourth round Ray Rice type pick in that spot.
I don't think you're going to get Arian Foster. Remember what we used to say about Ben Tate when we talked about him as drafting him as a handcuff to Arian Foster? All those numbers that Arian Foster would get, Ben Tate's going to get him. Well, he really only did that in one game last year. And there were some circumstances
hurt, though, right?
that really helped him out. He played her. He's a tough player. But he's just not a very good player.
And the Browns signed him to a very reasonable contract that he's got to play per game to get paid.
Yes.
So there's, you know, incentive there that every game really matters for him.
That's interesting.
But
I'm also not convinced he's going to be the only back there.
Like, well, there's never. I mean, it's so
no,
few.
He'll be the, he'll be no, the, I mean, he'll be the main guy. He's just going to have to probably share something.
He's definitely going to share.
But, like, if you look at our rankings, I think he's better suited in the 20 to 24 range than, like, Nathan's very high on him
on
by comparison.
Jared in Seattle says, you guys have Monte Ball as a top 10 running back. Last year you had him as a fourth-round pick. If you think about it, what has changed? We assumed he would be the starter last year also.
Well, there was building momentum for Knowshon Moreno as the preseason and training camp went on, and as we saw that Monte Ball couldn't pass protect and wasn't really suited to handle the every-down job, and then we saw what happened come week one. He wasn't the starter. So, yes, we overvalued Monte Ball last year, depending on when you listened to our show or when you looked at our rankings and all that fun stuff. But now he's the only show in town. There's you could read on our site, there's an update that says the Broncos have no interest in Chris Johnson by comparison, who is a veteran running back who's out there. You know, we've talked, I know I've said that if D'Angelo Williams were cut, maybe that's somebody that they would consider as a veteran presence on that team. And that still may happen, but it's not going to impact Monte Ball to the level that Knowshon did last year. So, barring something unforeseen happening between now and August, Monte Ball is a top 10 running back for all three of us, rightfully so. Where Dave took him in the first round, I think, is, you know, about the spot you have to consider him in that 8 to 12 range, you know, depending on how the draft goes. And so, ideally, you'd rather get him in the second round. You know, if you can make that happen, you know, if somebody does take a quarterback in the first round or somebody does, you know, go multiple receivers in the first round and he falls to round two, then you'll be very excited about that. But he's got top 10 potential. I mean, Peyton Manning's running back's been very good. Knowshon Moreno was number five last year. So that's what you're hoping for. He's probably closer to 10 than five at an optimal level.
I think you just wrote like six updates on that ball.
But it's all good stuff, and it's all true. And the only point that I would add is that it's the same situation as Ben Tate in Cincinnati. You've got an okay running back, but it's what's the point?
Ben Tate got traded.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
Cleveland.
On the bag. I swear to God, I was like, I thought he was on Cleveland.
I said Cincinnati. I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
But Denver's offense, way, way, way better than Cleveland's offense.
The only
and
thing,
Cincinnati's
the
offense.
Only thing I think that you have to worry about Monte Ball is, you know, is he going to be as durable, as shockingly enough as it is, as Knowshon was last year? Can he handle the receiving numbers? And is that offensive line going to be still going to be as good? Because they lost some key parts. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be great offensive linemen, but they lost two starters.
So Monte Ball and Le'Veon Bell are sort of destroying my Big Ten running back theory. We'll have to see how that goes.
Well, Bell did last year. Ball,
but Bell, averaged like his yards per carry were not that good.
No, it was not good.
But his offensive line was dreadful.
Right.
Yeah, and his receiving game more than made up for it.
He looks like a pretty good running back.
He
Ball
was
does
very
too.
Good.
But Knowshon looked good in that offense. So
right, and that's
I think
the
we'll
whole,
see the real
the
Knowshon
theory.
This year.
Right, I agree. And the whole theory is any running back that's there, it's going to enjoy six in the box. And lots of goal line opportunities.
This is, no name. Dear Rob, Brad, and Aria.
Roxy.
Oh, Roxy?
Yeah.
From?
Cincinnati.
Winterfell. Dear Rob, Brad, and Aria. Yeah. I'm a little surprised you all have Crabtree ranked higher than Keenan Allen. What's the reasoning? Non-PPR? It's not a question. Sorry, just non-PPR. My bad.
So you said that was funny.
I'm a little surprised you all have Crabtree ranked higher than Keenan Allen. What's the reasoning?
You know, I didn't have it that way to begin the offseason. But as I kept thinking about Keenan Allen, I just kind of felt like Crabtree had a little bit more potential. You look at how Crabtree finished the year and going into the postseason, how he did. I think that there's room for him to bounce right back to where he was before this Achilles injury took him out last year.
If you project Crabtree's numbers from 2012, then the 10 starts that Kaepernick made over a 16-game season, he was a top 10 fantasy receiver. And I think there's that much upside for Crabtree at 100%, which he should be. And he's going to get more single coverage this time around because Bolden is there. Vernon Davis is now proven to be more than just a playoff guy with Crabtree, and as we saw from him last year. And I think even Quentin Patton's going to open things up a little bit for this offense.
We're waiting for that one.
It makes a great case for Kaepernick, which I know Jamie loves Kaepernick,
yep,
too.
Yep.
That offense could be much better than it was
yep.
last year.
I'm actually
going to
get a chance to see a few of these guys this weekend and hoping to, you know, not that they're going to say they're going to be bad, but hear how excited they are about this year. And in terms of Keenan Allen, still, I think, good. Like, where you took him as your number two guy in your team is he's the type of number two. Like Dave, you know, made the decision to go tight end and flex before second running back. So he was really scraping.
Second receiver.
No. Tight end.
I took a tight end and a flex before his second receiver.
So he was kind of scraping for, you know, those high-end number three options to be his number two guy. Like, you took a really what is more of a back-end number two receiver, and I know that's kind of downgrading Keenan a little bit more than where we have him ranked, but he's one of those guys I don't think that you want to, you know, jump up and reach for when, like, we're talking that round four range. So I think you took Keenan in, what, round six?
Five or six,
right?
But I had, you know, oh, no, never mind.
I think he's a good enough number two receiver.
Yeah,
round,
I think
round five.
The thing that concerns me is the touchdowns, because that's going to be very hard for him to duplicate 10 touchdowns again, and especially without Ken Wisenhunt there. You know, that offense is going to change a little bit. They're so run dominant, especially with adding Donald Brown. And we'll see what they do with the other receiver spot because, you know, it's clearly not just going to be Keenan Allen and Eddie Royal and then, you know, whatever else they decide to throw opposite them. Malcolm Floyd, I think.
I don't know if he's coming back.
Yeah, this was the question mark. But they have to address their receiver spot because they can't just go with this. And then Ladarius Green will be more of a factor. They'll go two tight end sets a little bit more. So Keenan Allen doesn't excite me. Michael Crabtree excites me.
Let's go faster. Alan J. says, auction draft advice, please.
Bid on good players.
Yeah.
Tier your players in advance, and you can, like, set a budget for each tier, and when each tier gets close to the end, you know that the best available player from said tier is a guy you should go and bid on.
Nominate players that you don't want.
Early on, and then change it about halfway.
Dollar bids. That's when you change it.
Yeah, when you want guys.
See, I like doing a little bit before then.
You do?
Sure. Because then I can get the players that I like that are worth $2, $3, $4, $5.
Mm. That's a good
point.
There's
that bargain range right before you get to Dollarville.
Yes. After the big spending is over early. And there's more big spending later because some guys.
Right. Because, you know, somebody decides
to the middle of the draft.
Not nominate Drew Brees and then suddenly.
Right. But a lot of the times the best players get nominated early. And then there's this like mid tier group in the middle of the
auction.
Everybody
spends all their money.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just using baseball because I haven't done a football auction in a while, but I think those are some of the best bargains.
The second
like
wave.
The fifth, sixth round guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In a draft.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, those are good bargains there.
Right.
All right, here's Nick in Vancouver. He says, dear Kurt, Dave, and Chris. And Christ, Kurt, Dave, and Chris.
That would be Nirvana.
Christ with a T?
Chris Novoselic.
Interesting.
I'm guaranteeing you on this one.
Oh, no, you've got to be right. 12-man PPR keeper league. Should I keep Jimmy Graham for a first-round pick or trade him straight up for Julius Thomas for a 14th-round pick? If I trade Graham, I can hang on to Eddie Lacy with my first instead.
Yeah. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Yeah, do it. Quiet Storm on Twitter.
Do it now because if Jimmy Graham's a holdout, it's going to make it worse for you.
Quiet Storm on Twitter says, is Randall Cobb a number one wide receiver since Jones and Finley are out of Green Bay?
Yep. He was number one receiver before Jones and Finley left Green Bay.
Right, and so now if they're out, more targets for him, but also more targets for Jarrett Boykin, and I'm sure they're going to come up with a new tight end there. If they
Who's better,
Finley
Cobb
back.
Or Jordy?
I have Jordy ranked Jordy. Ahead of him, but they're really close.
So they're both number ones.
They're both number ones.
Nick Hollenbeck, does your draft strategy change in a PPR league versus standard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big
receivers,
time.
Big time. You put a premium on high catch receivers.
I don't even think I consider, I won't say that, but I try not to have a running back as my flex in a PPR league. You definitely
I mean,
want
you
a receiver.
Could, but
unless it's a running back who catches a lot of passes, like a Vereen, maybe.
Yeah,
but he might be a number.
There's
two.
So many other receivers compared to running backs that you can find and fill in as your flex.
You're going to get good running back value in PPR drafts. Maybe not necessarily in the ones we do on our site.
Well, sure,
but
because you'll end up getting some of the guys who just don't catch passes later.
Yeah, like Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris
will
slip into PPR.
Yeah,
but I'm not saying you shy away from him just because he doesn't catch passes.
Like third round, is that good for him in a PPR?
Yeah, I mean, I would still go.
That's where he'll definitely go in a PPR.
Right, right, right. You might even be able to find the nerve to get him in late round two.
Oh, I think you could wait till round four in some cases, too. I mean, I've seen that happen.
That's what I'm saying. It's third round too early.
No, I think third round is about the spot you want to take him. But, you know, depending on how the draft is going, you could see him fall to round four.
What about zigging when other people zag and, like, loading up on running backs when everybody's taking wide receivers?
Well, if you're drafting with smart people, I mean, there's going to be receivers in the mix right from the jump, late round one through round two. All those receivers that might go in round three in a standard draft get bumped up around and change. And so if you zig and take, what are you saying? Take receivers. If you know the first seven picks are pretty much going to be running backs with Calvin and Jimmy Graham sprinkled in, and then toward the back end of round one, that's when the receivers start to go. I think you're thinking about zigging when zagging, like maybe starting in round four or round five.
How many of your first three picks are wide receivers?
Two. In a PPR, two. Definitely.
Okay,
and see, in a standard league,
it's too hard to say because I mean I'm thinking of a PPR draft that I did last year with other analysts, and I ended up with my first three picks were Calvin Johnson, Matt Forte, Reggie Bush, and then I ended up Shane Vereen in round five. I mean, you know, it's I don't necessarily look at it as I'm taking these, and I'm doing any draft really. I'm taking these players in these particular rounds.
No, but you have guidelines, you have ideas when you go in.
Yeah, but. I wouldn't necessarily change it just because of the format. I think it's just the players that are there because, you know, like what you just said, taking two receivers in your first three rounds, you may end up with, you know, that whole group of guys similar to like what you did in our recent draft, and two of those guys may hit because receiver is going to be the position that hits more than anything else. Late round players.
Mm-hmm.
Ken says, "Dear Joe, Mark, and Doug." You know that one, Dave?
That's not Nirvana.
He also says, "Hail to the Redskins."
Oh, so it's Redskins.
So quarterbacks.
Yeah. I want to make fantasy football longer. Have you ever heard of this idea, and can you make any suggestions to help make it better? I'm going to hold our first draft on the first Wednesday in July. Since this is an office league, we'll do this at lunch and only draft the first two rounds. Plus, the person with the first pick will get one. What? We'll get one make the first pick of the third. Okay. On the second Wednesday in July.
I'm reading the email for the first time.
The person with the second pick will start their. Oh, okay. So first Wednesday in July, they're doing the first two rounds, and then the person with the first pick will get the first pick of the third round. On the second Wednesday in July, the person with the second pick will start the remainder of the third round and will complete the fourth round, and the first two picks of the fifth round. We'll do this through August until the draft is complete.
I'm going to have to rewind and hear that again when I listen to the podcast.
He's drafting from
later.
July to August.
Yeah, we try to avoid that. I mean, we do it because we do a bunch of mock drafts just because people want to see what drafts look like now compared to July.
He's doing one draft
and
starts in July.
You know what I would do if I were him? I would make this a dynasty league, and I would do like a rookie draft in July, like three rounds. Just make your rosters bigger, make it more fun if you want to have it continue. And if since you're not starting it until July, you know, you can – there's going to be some changes between July and August, but not major ones. You know, be a player here, a player there, somebody blows out their knee, something like that. But it's not going to be like overhauling changes, and you're not like, you know, you're not really making it year round.
Tell me if this is too crazy. What if you did a rookie draft, all the rookies in July, like you suggested, and then a week or 2 weeks later, you do quarterbacks only. You draft quarterbacks, and then you draft tight ends a couple weeks later, and then you draft receivers, and then you end with the running back since that's the position that could get banged up or change the most during training camp.
Yeah, but somebody can end up then with just an unbelievably loaded team if they had those.
Well, I mean, if
first
you'd have to set the draft order a certain way so that, you know, if you're picking running backs first, then you're picking everything else last.
Right.
Or something like that. You know, you would certainly weigh it so that you could still build an even roster. or everybody has a chance.
Yeah,
to go
I don't know
roster.
If I would.
It might be too complicated
like that. But I think if you want to do something to extend it, what I would do is if you really want to make it like as in depth as possible, do a rookie, make it a dynasty league with IDP players. Do 1 month of rookies. Do 1 month of IDP guys, and then do
your draft. Let's see. Tony French says, if you were a rookie quarterback about to be drafted, where would you want to go?
Denver.
Yeah. What do you think? Texans?
You mean of the teams that are looking at quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Houston might be the best spot.
Houston's going to be better than Oakland or
first
Jacksonville.
First of all, I'll get paid the most if I go to Houston because they'll take me with the first pick.
Sure.
Much more stable franchise, too.
Minnesota would be good. I mean, you get North Turner.
It's so cold.
That's really him.
Yeah. Who wants to live in Minnesota?
It's an outdoor team.
Oh, I'm going to get killed for that.
Again.
I'm sorry. Stephon Marbury, or maybe it was Garnett. I don't remember. One of them was like talking about how damn cold it is. And it's
of course it's cold.
That's a factor in life.
It is a factor in life, but still.
In some places.
I mean, you've lived in Chicago and South Florida. Where would you want to live?
South Florida.
Yeah. Sorry, Minnesota. I am really sorry. Okay.
If you could be Chris Carter or Ted Ginn, who would you rather be?
Chris Carter or Ted Ginn?
Yeah.
You mean the Vikings wide receiver?
Yeah.
Chris Carter.
Okay. Where did he live and play?
Well, he lived in Miami, and then he went to Minnesota.
Off-season.
Oh. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, Ted Ginn's been in all warm weather cities.
Fine.
Most of
if you could be Chris Carter or Jerry Rice.
No one cares where you want to live, Adam.
I would take that into consideration if I could pick any team. Captain Chris Waldron, U.S. Army 4th Infantry Division, Fort Carson, Colorado.
Awesome. Thank you for your service.
Says, Adam, I think you should have taken a look at pairing Bernard Pierce to Ray Rice in round 6 or 7 instead of drafting guys like MJD and Pierre Thomas to shore up that number 2 running back position. I'm a Pierce believer, just my 2 cents. What do you think? Should I have done that?
I think the Pierce ship has sailed, unfortunately, because he showed a lot of promise in 2012, but he had the shoulder injury last year. They're going to draft, Dave said they're going to draft somebody else. They already brought in Justin Forsett. So
it's over, Bernard.
Bernard Pierce, maybe with your last pick or wherever Bernard Pierce went, because I know he went late.
Third to last round.
Yes. Tenth round.
That's about the time to consider it.
I would have taken him there instead of David Wilson.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think round 6, round 7, there's no chance you take Bernard Pierce.
Well, thanks, guys.
What do you mean? We got all these other questions.
No, we don't. We don't have any. We finished them all.
From Nick Capolo, Dave Jared.
Nick DiPolo?
Scott, a Cowboys fan.
All right. Well, thank you, Nando.
Rolando
I appreciate
Cruz,
it.
Brandon Myers.
For Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard.
Nando DeFino.
I'm Adam Azer.
Scott White.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.